The government has made clear its commitment to facilitating and supporting the work of the inquiry to the greatest extent possible. And the bill before the House today is another important step towards delivering on that commitment. The bill deals with the taking of oral evidence before our courts and will sit alongside the concrete measures I've already put in place to facilitate the disclosure of Irish state documents to the inquiry. The bombing of the town of Omagh on the 15th of August 1998 was the single worst atrocity of the Troubles, resulting in the loss of 31 lives and at least 220 people injured. At a time of collective hope, it was a senseless, brutal terrorist attack that sought to undermine the peace that had been secured some months earlier. The government has condemned the abhorrent criminal actions of those who planned the attack and planted and detonated the bomb. I do so again today. The families and survivors, in their eloquent testimony to the inquiry's commemorative hearing last year, gave voice to the enormity of that loss and its enduring toll. The formal decision taken by the government on 9 July 2024 to assist the inquiry and to authorise officials to engage with the inquiry to explore mechanisms for working together was taken in recognition of the importance of the inquiry for families and survivors and their quest for truth and justice. The programme for government also clearly reiterates our commitment, stating that we'll play our full part in legacy processes, including facilitating and supporting the OMA inquiry. Delivering on our commitment to assist an inquiry established by another sovereign state is not without its challenges. There are legal complexities that must be navigated to ensure consistency with the laws of Ireland and the government's duty to safeguard the essential interests of the state and the constitutional and other rights of citizens. Successive governments have navigated similar challenges in the past, including assisting the Northern Ireland courts during the civil proceedings taken by the families and enacting primary and secondary legislation to support cross-border cooperation with UK authorities. I've referred to the actions I've already taken to support the OMA inquiry. These include agreeing a memorandum of understanding with the chairman of the inquiry last April to guide the disclosure of Irish state materials and implementing measures to support the disclosure of sensitive personal data. These measures are in operation and working very well, with a significant quantity of Irish state materials, principally from An Garda Síochána, disclosed to the inquiry, with more being disclosed on a rolling basis. To date, Cathaoirleach, some 29,000 pages have been disclosed by the Irish government to the OMA bombing inquiry. I welcome the acknowledgement by Council to the inquiry at its hearing in March of the, quote, considerable efforts that have been made by Irish authorities and the effective progress, unquote, that has been made to respond to the inquiry's requests. My department and the Garda Commissioner have dedicated resources in place to support the disclosure process to ensure that it is conducted with rigour and that all potentially relevant material is made available to the inquiry in line with the MOU. This is vital, and the government's at one with counsel to the inquiry when he said, on announcing that the first evidential hearings will start in September, that it's important that the inquiry is not rushed and that it is as comprehensive as it can be in addressing its terms of reference. Turning to the bill before the Seanad today, it provides a bespoke legal mechanism to facilitate the taking of sworn evidence from state bodies and former ministerial officeholders before a judge of the High Court at the request of the chairman of the commission. The approach is modelled on the 2019 International Cooperation Act, which, Senator, to be aware, was enacted to enable the taking of oral evidence from Gardaí for the purposes of UK Troubles-related inquests. Importantly, this bill includes some new features. These take account of the nature of the inquiry and its broader terms of reference and are aimed at maximising the evidential opportunities available to the chairman and enhancing transparency. And I'll go through the sections in due course. It's a standalone bill concerned solely with providing assistance to the OMA inquiry. The mechanism it provides will be available to the chairman over the lifetime of the inquiry and will allow for assistance to be sought as matters arise in the course of its work. This single focus recognises the significance of the bombing and also the need for speedy enactment. As the House will be aware, I intend to bring forward separate legislative proposals in the coming weeks to progress implementation of the government's commitments in the joint framework on addressing the legacy of the Troubles agreed with the United Kingdom government last September. Part 2 of the bill contains the substantive provisions detailing the application and operation of the bespoke legal mechanism. As referred to earlier, it's premised on the taking of evidence in this jurisdiction before the High Court. This mirrors the 2019 legislation, and it is necessary and essential to safeguard the interests of the state, including its sovereignty and the rights of Irish state witnesses, while seeking to maximise evidential opportunities for the inquiry. As I said, the mechanism is triggered by a request from the Chairman for assistance. Such a request may be made to the Gardaí. However, Section 4 allows the Minister to designate other bodies at the request of the Chairman. Those other bodies include Department of State and the Defence Forces. This is a new feature compared to the 2019 Act, and recognises that bodies other than Garda Síochána hold records that are potentially relevant to the inquiry. Section 5 deals with how the Chairman may request assistance from a state body, be that the Gardaí or another designated state body. The head of the state body could be the Garda Commissioner or the Chief of Staff. An important development on the 2019 Act is that a request may, in addition to specifying the questions the chairperson is requesting, be asked specify current and past office holders from whom the inquiry wishes to hear. The head may accede to a request in full or in part, but must refuse a request where to do so would be likely to prejudice the security or sovereignty of the state, would be likely to prejudice a criminal investigation or criminal proceedings, would otherwise be inconsistent with the functions or the statutory of the designated state body. I want to emphasise that the assessment requirement requires an individual consideration of each question and the potential evidence concerned. There are no classes of records that are automatically excluded from being put into evidence using this mechanism. Equally, general or speculative assertions of harm will not be enough to grant a refusal. The head must be of the opinion that actual prejudice to the fundamental concerns of the state is likely. I also want to emphasise that the decision by the head of the body is subject to an important check. Prior consultation is required with me as Minister for Justice and, where relevant, the line minister. The head of the body is required to make the decision as soon as practical. This is important to ensure that momentum is maintained. The section also ensures transparency around the decision-making by requiring the reasons granting any refusal to be notified to the chairperson. Section 6 is similar to Section 5 but concerns requests for assistance from former ministerial office holders. This extension seeks to take account of the inquiry's terms of reference, which include investigation of the approach taken by UK state authorities to security normalisation before and after the Good Friday Agreement. If the inquiry forms a view that a former ministerial office holder has relevant evidence to give, it is, in my view, appropriate that the state has in place a suitable mechanism to facilitate the taking of such evidence. As I have outlined, Sections 5 and 6 make provision for past members of an Garda Síochána or the Defence Forces to be requested to provide assistance. Their participation will be voluntary and subject to their written consent. However, as I've stated earlier, I expect cooperation from all concerned who are requested to assist. And this consent-based approach arises from such persons being private citizens who cannot be compelled to give evidence for the purposes of an inquiry outside the state. What the bill seeks to do is to provide a means for those retired members and officials or ministerial office holders to provide evidence to the inquiry under Irish law. Section 7 deals with the designation of witnesses. Section 8 deals with the nomination of the High Court judge, who will act as the conduit for the evidence to be taken under Sections 9 and 10. Sections 9, 10 and 11 deal with the taking of the evidence. Section 9 provides that the nominated judge shall ask the agreed questions, while Section 10 enables the Chairman or Council to ask the inquiry to ask follow-up questions. This is a new feature compared to what was in 2019. Section 11 sets out that the evidence to be taken on oath with the same privileges and immunities available for the High Court. The evidence also to be taken otherwise than in public. This is appropriate as it does not involve the administration of justice. That said, I draw attention of the House to the provision that enables core participants and our legal representatives to attend with the Chairman and the inquiry team. And those core participants represent many of the families. This section also makes clear that the nominated judge may issue directions in relation to the arrangements for the taking of evidence, and I draw attention to the explicit reference to any arrangements necessary for securing the safety of people. Once the evidence has been taken, it will be a matter for the nominated judge to certify it and to bring it then to the chairperson. That brings me to the close of how the bespoke mechanism is intended to operate. The government, through a representative at the opening hearing of the inquiry on 30 July, committed to doing everything in our power to support cooperation, including putting in place new legislation. The inquiry has announced it will commence its evidential hearings on the 21st of September. I'm committed to having this bill on the statute book by then. I hope to get the support of the Senate. I also want to commend and thank the Justice Committee for waiving pre-legislative scrutiny. And I also want to acknowledge the intensive engagement between the inquiry team and my officials over the past months. I want to thank the inquiry for its constructive approach as we seek to work together to support the inquiry to fulfil its terms of reference.